Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And on today's episode, we're going to start a new series. And the series is titled Habits for Growth for the New Year. And in this series, we're going to talk about how do we grow in Christ in the new year. You know, lots of people talk about making resolutions and all those things. But really, the things that are the most important are, yes, that we do get, physically fit and discipline ourselves for the sake of godliness. But really, we need to grow in our walk with the Lord. We need to do this personally. We need to do this, personally, so that we're growing ourselves in the Lord, so that we can lead our families, so that we can conduct ourselves with integrity and honor before the face of God and for the honor of God, and make disciples in our local church, be a blessing to other people in our local church. And so this series is going to be about 5 episodes or so. We're going to cover everything from, you know, Bible reading and being a member of a church and so much more. So I hope that you'll really find this episode to be, and this series as a whole, to be helpful. So today we're going to kick it off by talking about Bible reading. And in Jeremiah 15:6, the Bible says this: "Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." This vivid depiction of happiness that springs up in the heart from taking God's word deeply should resonate with us. Now you see, the word of God, it should be precious to us as Christians. And yet, because of the indwelling sin that remains in us, we can be tempted to do good things for the wrong reasons. What then should be our motive and goals when we come to the word of God? Well, as Jeremiah ate the words of God, so we too can approach Scripture for the purposes of awe, transformation, and endurance. First, awe. An encounter with the God of the universe can't help but produce awe and wonder in those whom He has revealed Himself. He is glorious, majestic, unlike anyone or anything else. Psalm 93:1-4 says, "The Lord reigns, He is robed in majesty, mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty." You see, His greatness is unsearchable. He is glorious, He's splendid, He's majestic, as Psalm 145:3-5 says. Scripture is how we come to know the God who has called us to Himself, because the only way to know God is to know Him as He's revealed in the Word. And now, to be sure, our Bible reading won't always evoke the degree of awe from us that is due to the Lord. But through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who indwells us, God can and does draw us into a deeper knowledge of Himself that results in true worship and greater love for the Lord. And that means that we will marvel at His power and His wisdom, as we see in Psalm 62:11 and Romans 16:27. We are comforted by His love and His sovereignty, as 1 John 3:1 says and Ephesians 1:11 says. And so, one proper motivation for reading the Bible is to be drawn into a deeper knowledge of, and thereby a deeper awe, appreciation, love, and gratitude for, its author. And in this sense, we can say that the Bible is a profoundly relational book, as it draws us into deeper communion with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Bible reading is meant to be relational in that way, as I described it. Second, transformation. So, in addition to drawing us into a deeper relationship with the triune God, another goal of reading the Bible is transformation in all of life. There are many brilliant, gifted, and disciplined people, I should say, who enjoy studying the Bible. But studying the Bible doesn't necessarily mean that one is a Christian. The Pharisees serve as Exhibit A in this regard. John 5:39-40 says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." So unless we see Jesus Christ in the Word of God, they impart no life to us, for life is in the Lord alone, as He is revealed in Scripture. Now, in Christ, God is at work to make us fully human again as we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 says. So, through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, God uses the Word of God to transform our desires, our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions, as Romans 12:2 says, so that we become more and more like the Lord. Third, endurance. Now, you know, the older we get, the more life we experience more suffering as well. You know, and this is why we need to understand the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. You know, chronic suffering, we know it wears us down. Grief is hard, and it can wear us down. It can make us seem invisible to others. Life can bring deep sorrow, trials, losses, some of which we must endure ceaselessly, as opposed to a painful season that comes and goes. Now, not only that, but we also have an enemy, Satan, who slanders and accuses us. And such suffering and opposition can chip away at our desire and our ability to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep worshiping the Lord. Now, another motive for reading the Word of God is to be strengthened with endurance, that we might finish the earthly race the Lord has set before us. Scripture even tells us that it aims to help us in this way, as Romans 15:4 says. We are kept by the power of God, and God uses His Word to encourage us. And the fact that we can make it through the treacherous obstacle course of the world, the flesh, and the devil, it shows the power of God at work in our lives, much more than any impressive ministry or extraordinary gifting ever could. You see, endurance is a precious gift of God to believers from the Lord. God's Word strengthens us to keep going until He calls us home to Himself. That is to say, our faith being preserved through every danger, toil, and snare. See, God didn't give us His Word to make us prideful, that we might know more of it than other people do. Nor did He give us His Word to provide a path by which we can justify ourselves through adherence to His law, or to manufacture an external form of godliness that evokes praise from others, or even makes our lives run more smoothly. Let us not read God's Word for self-promotion, for self-justification, or even self-improvement. May you and I, may we approach the Word of God as those who love God, who desire to know the Lord more, as those who desire transformation into the image of Christ, and as those who know that the Holy Spirit uses the Word men to strengthen His people to endure until the end. And until then, may we be like Jeremiah and eat gladly of the words of life. In Deuteronomy 30, as Moses finishes his farewell speech, he makes three remarkable claims about the right way to read the Word of God. First, you should read the Bible because your life depends on it. It really does. Moses presents the people with a clear choice. Submission to the Word brings blessing. Departure from the Word or ignorance of it, it brings curse. Now, Jesus extends this imagery to His teaching as well in Matthew 7:24, when He says, "Whoever hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And whoever ignores them is a fool, building his house on sand," as Jesus says in Matthew 7:26. Many people have lives that fare just fine in good weather, but when the storms of tragedy come, and they will, only the life built on the rock of the Word of God will stand. We evangelicals, we staunchly defend the inerrancy, the infallibility of the Word of God, and we should. But understanding the importance of God's Word does us no good unless we learn it, unless we obey it, unless we saturate our words in it, and we practice the Word of God. Second, read your Bible because God hasn't hidden what He wants you to do in it. He's disclosed it in His special revelation, the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 30:11, Moses says that the Word is neither too hard nor too far off. It's very near to us. It's in our hearts. It's in our mouths. And in essence, the essentials of what we need to know are accessible and clear, ready to be grasped, ready to be obeyed. Many people today feel that they cannot possibly hope to understand the Word of God, especially the Old Testament. For them, it's a mass of confusing stories. But, you know, Jesus was asked a lot of questions about the Word of God. And not once did He say, "You know, I get that you're confused. The Old Testament is just so unclear." No, He responded, "Haven't you read?" Had His opponents known their Bibles better, they would not have been making the mistakes they're making. Now, we won't be able to understand everything. That's true. That's fine. But we need to know, for what we need to know for life is plain in the Word of God. The problem is not that we find rarely parts of the Bible we cannot understand, but that we refuse to obey the parts we do understand. Third, Don't just read your Bible. Encounter the person of Christ in the Word. And at the end of Moses' sermon, he suddenly shifts from talking about the Word as Israel's life to talking about the Lord as their life. He's hinting that we need more than a book to follow. We need God himself to be our life and our salvation. You see, the primary purpose of the Word of God has always been to tell us about the person and work of Jesus Christ alone. Don't read the Bible as a manual, as a how-to book, or even to get your best life now. Read it. Read the Word of God as a story of how he's redeemed your life instead. The abundant life isn't found by learning divine secrets. It's by knowing the Lord. You see, the Word of God is living and active, so don't just read the Bible. Let it read you. Experience it in the living, moving Son of God as revealed in the Word of God. You know, learning the Bible, we can say, is a lot like learning a language. The best way to learn both is by immersion. You know, our children, they learn to speak, they learn to read, they learn to write, they pick up English by repetition, by practice, and by use. And so when we read the Word of God, some of the best ways to remember Scripture are through reading it regularly, praying it in our hearts, weaving it into our family's life, and hearing it preached from biblically qualified men in our local church. In other words, the more we incorporate Scripture into daily life and practice, the more we're going to remember and even treasure the contents of the Word of God. So first, read the whole Bible regularly. We should read the whole Bible. The first thing we need in learning a language are to learn the vocabulary, the grammar, the content. Interestingly, Psalm 1 does not exhort believers to meditate on God's law day and night. It assumes that we do in verse 2. And yet many believers do not know how to meditate on the Word of God. So where should we begin? Well, the first step is to read it. And it seems as we look at the stats on biblical illiteracy, which, by the way, is just not knowing key facts and ideas and stories, that many Christians then, we shouldn't be surprised, they don't know the Bible. In fact, taking stock of how much we've read, do we find that we gravitate to favorite texts such as the Gospels or Romans 8? Yet we should treasure every part of the Word of God, if for no other reason than it is God's Word. Psalm 119 expressed whole-souled love for the law of the Lord, because the psalmist aimed at wholehearted love for the Lord of the law. We need the full range of Scripture to gain a full picture of what God is like and who God is and what He has done. The best way to do this is to have a plan. Lots of reading plans exist. Reading 3 to 4 chapters a day is going to get you through the Bible in roughly a year. I also have a podcast called Reading the Bible Daily with Dave that's going to launch here in the next day or two. I encourage you to check that out wherever you get podcasts, on Apple or Spotify or Google. It's also on our sermon audio page, and it's also on our YouTube. So check that out. I'll be going over one chapter every day. It's going to take about 3.5 years, but I'm going to also explain key facts and ideas and the theology. The more frequently we read through every part of the Word of God, the more the parts explain each other as we begin to pick up biblical vocabulary, grammar, and thought patterns. And if we do not set apart time for daily private worship, plowing steadily through God's book, the Word of God, then how will we be like Apollos, becoming mighty in the Word of God, as Acts 18:24 describes Apollos? Second, pray through reading your Bible. Reading Scripture should not merely be an expression of private devotion. It's an act of worship which we seek God, which we express primarily through prayer. We should not only pray that God would open our eyes to behold wondrous things from His law, as we see in Psalm 119:18, but we should also incorporate scriptural expressions into our prayer. So asking, what does this text show me about God, can make both easy and harder passages fruitful. In Psalm 91:2, it says that God is our dwelling place in all generations, and that from everlasting to everlasting He is God. So can we not pray, Lord, I thank you that my children and I dwell with you and you with us, and that because you are everlasting, you can keep your promise to our family forever. Seeking God's glory through prayer can likewise draw us to God in worship, even through 9 chapters of genealogy in 1 Chronicles, since we see God's covenant faithfulness to his people instead of merely a list of names. Third, weave scripture into your family routine. So we know that loving the Lord involves speaking his word to our children. When we sit, when we rise, and when we walk, according to Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And the most obvious way to do this is to extend our private worship into family worship. Reading, praying, singing through the Word of God together, keeping family worship short and simple, makes these times both profitable and better than not doing it at all. Reading and praying through the Bible on our own in our household, it leads naturally to conversing about the Bible throughout the day. And as couples immerse themselves in the Word of God, incorporating children, if you have them, they build devotional habits and help them to know and remember the Word of God, which spills into our natural, everyday speech and life. You see, the more scripture that we put into the heart, the more the mouth will speak as an overflow of the heart. Hear biblical preaching from biblical qualified pastors. And you see, in faithful preaching of the Word of God, we hear the Word of Christ in and from the Word of God. The Spirit power accompanies preachers who proclaim God's testimony of His Son, Jesus Christ, from the Word. And while listening to Bible lectures and sermons online is good, meeting with Christ and His people and public worship in a local church is vital. It's better. And thankfully, the Lord has given us this time to redirect our hearts towards heaven where the risen and ascended Christ is. So private, even family worship, it's going to help us immerse us in Scripture throughout all of our life. And you see, public worship is a capstone of this process, in which the Spirit particularly drives the Word home, enables us to practice God's Word, to remember it. As Augustine counseled in his book on Christian doctrine, the best way to read the Bible is to seek and enjoy God through it. The words on the page are signs pointing to the Lord, but the triune God is the thing that we really need and want when we read and we hear God's Word. And so learning Scripture is a whole-souled engagement. Do I pray for the Spirit to glorify the Son as you and I study His Word? Do you and I aim to glorify God in body and soul as His beloved children? Do you and I seek to remember the Bible by using means to take it in and through praying it into practice? Well, this is just the start of this wonderful series, helping us and reminding us even of habits that we should have, habits that need to be formed, habits that need to grow and deepen in our lives. And so I want to invite you to join me as we continue on in this series. And thank you so much, men, for joining me as we look at these things for many years now. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.